I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
This is a pre-recorded program presented by KSL News Radio and Intermountain Healthcare.
Healthy Mind Matters, brought to you by Intermountain Healthcare. We discuss the important community issues of stronger mental health, emotional wellness, and the growing problem of addiction. Here's our host, Maria Chaleos, on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Thank you for joining us for Healthy Mind Matters. Today we are talking about how our homeless population is being impacted by the pandemic. With me today, Terry Faust, who's the Community Health Director for Intermountain Healthcare, Diane Rindlisbacher, who's the Community Testing Lead for COVID for Intermountain, Dr. Michelle Goldberg, the Medical Director for the 4th Street Clinic, and Van Aston, who's a Physician's Assistant at the Hope Clinic in Ogden for the homeless there. Dr. Goldberg, talk about in a situation where you are trying to deal with a disease like this on a daily basis, how are you then able to perform any sort of community outreach to the homeless?
Yeah, so, you know, unfortunately, we have had to significantly scale back our medical outreach during this time. We have limited PPE. I mean, we're fine, but we have to think about this could be a prolonged amount of time. And so we have to be very careful about how we use our PPE. We also have, you know, we're a federally qualified health center, so we have a thin staff. And so we have to make sure that we can maintain our services at our hub downtown. And that's our primary concern as we see an influx and a surge in patients. So that's our primary focus. And we've unfortunately had to scale back a little bit with our medical outreach team. There are still outreach teams going out. The VOA is sending teams out in conjunction with nurses from the Department of Health. And they've set up the city. They've divided into quadrants. And they survey those individuals that are camping or living on the streets. And they're educating them about symptoms. They're asking them for symptoms. They're telling them they can get tested. They're trying to get them transportation to 4th Street Clinic if they do want to get tested or if they have symptoms. They're then going back out and providing them with information, and supporting them, giving them results when they have been tested. They're also bringing them food and really providing that type of support. You know, I've heard that there's, you know, in some of individuals who are on shelter, the kind of this, their routine has been altered, right? So all of our routines have been altered, but theirs have as well. So where they might go for food, how they pick up their mail, where they use the restrooms, all of that has been altered. And so individuals are, people are getting more anxious on the streets, not having that normal routine, not knowing where to find some of those essential services. And so providing kind of some of that emotional support to them is essential at this time.
Van, while you haven't had a case at your clinic, what does outreach look like for you then? I mean, do we know if there are people who aren't coming to your clinic that are in the homeless community that are still having a problem with COVID?
Yeah, so we're assuming that it's out there. We don't know exactly where it is yet within the Ogden city area, but we're just assuming that it's out there. Our outreach, similar to 4th Street, has been scaled back significantly. Although we are a younger clinic than 4th Street, we didn't have as a well-established street outreach program. We still do have certain things that we've been doing in the past for street outreach and have turned some of those things over to some of our community partners. one of the shelters here in Ogden, Youth Futures, works specifically with homeless teens, and they do street outreach, and they've continued their street outreach. And so we've partnered with them to help us understand kind of what things are like out in the community since we've had to scale back as well. Similar reasons as 4th Street, we have a pretty slim staff here, so we have limited opportunity to take care of what needs to be done here as well as go out on the street. Weber Human Services, we work with directly, obviously the Weber Morgan Health Department. So we've relied on our other community partners to help give us information about what they're seeing out there in their individual street outreach programs, and that's helped give us a good idea of what we're expecting. We've asked them to share Hope Clinic's information with all of the camps that they come across, and the Ogden City Police Department is aware of this as well, and they're also doing the same thing. And so we've relied on people that have a more established outreach program to let those individuals know that there are services still available, that we are still open, that we can help them find access to all of the things that they still need, mental health, physical health, food, and all of those other things as well. So it's been a group effort for sure on our end.
Diane, tell us how your mobile unit is working as far as testing goes.
Yeah, our mobile unit is primarily targeted to serve the vulnerable and underserved populations. And so we use a data-driven approach where we look at the data that we've already collected in terms of where we have increased positive COVID tests, and then collaborate. We were recently at the Food and Care Coalition and with Mountain Lands Clinic, their East Bay location, with our mobile unit doing some testing of that of those clients that receive services there. So it really is a combination of what we see from a data perspective and what our partners ask us to come help them with.
Terry, explain for us why it has been so important for Intermountain Healthcare to reach out to the state's most vulnerable populations.
Yeah, I really think that our vulnerable populations, there it's our community, and I think all of the people in this discussion here today are mission driven and just feel like it's our mission to serve. And it takes all of us with the varying resources that we might have and expertise to bring together and to come together to serve these populations. And so it's really important for us to partner because we're just a part of, just a piece of the of what it takes to really serve our communities in this way. You know, like we, for example, we may not have a homeless clinic like our two providers here run, but we do serve the homeless population in our hospitals and in some of our community-based clinics. But we may have other resources that our partners need. For example, we've had some caregivers that we've been able to redeploy. I think we've got two MAs that are, as Michelle had said, staffing's thin, that will be helping to support 4th Street Clinic. And that benefits our caregivers, keeps them working, and hopefully it will benefit 4th Street Clinic as well. As far as personal protective equipment, we're all just trying to use it appropriately so that we have it, but also trying to find ways to help each other obtain it. Intermountain started producing our own face shields and been able to provide face shields, sand wipe, sanitizer to our partnered safety net clinics. And so just looking at all those ways that we can use to leverage our resources and create that synergy around serving these populations in need.
All right, let's take a break. And you're listening to Healthy Mind Matters on KSL News Radio.